Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be for good pleasure in thy sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and family of David, to be written down with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. What was it like for Joseph and Mary to make the journey to Bethlehem? How did it feel for them to return to the inheritance bequeathed to them, to their fathers, by the Lord? Although it may have been a difficult journey, perhaps it was also moving to return to the birthplace of their great ancestor, David. Knowing that Mary was soon to give birth to the promised Messiah, the heir to King David's throne, perhaps they thought of the ancient prophecy, "But thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, though thou be little among the princes of Judah, yet out of thee shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." And now they were going to Bethlehem. Jesus was known throughout his life as Jesus of Nazareth. Hardly anyone seems to have known that he was actually born in Bethlehem. This leads some scholars, so-called scholars, to doubt this part of the gospel, viewing it as something added later. But in the light of the spiritual sense, we can see three beautiful truths about the Lord contained in the story of the journey and of his birth in Bethlehem. First, the reason they were going to Bethlehem was to obey the decree of Caesar Augustus. Augustus had appointed Publius Quirinius to make a census of Syria and Palestine for collecting tribute. He required all the Jews to return to their ancestral hometown to have their names written down there. This was the external, historical reason for the Lord's being born in Bethlehem. We can see the hand of providence in this census. In the spiritual sense, in the story of all the inhabited earth returning to the inheritance given them by the Lord to be written down, everyone to his own city, we are given an image of the Lord setting all things in order in preparation for his coming. In the law of Moses, a census or numbering of the people, when it was done at the command of the Lord and with payment of a special tax, it had a very good spiritual meaning. The Arcana explains, when relating to all things of the church, which are the truths and the goods of faith, numbering is their being set in order and properly arranged. The Lord enables us to set our priorities in order. By his help, we can set each of our goals and interests in its proper place. This is like each of the Israelites returning to the inheritance given him by the Lord. In the words of the psalm, "So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom." Reading further, the Arcana says, "Numbering has this meaning because counting involves examining something. And what is examined by the Lord is also set in order and arranged." The Hebrew word by which numbering is expressed means to examine, evaluate, observe, and also to visit, to command, to preside, thus to order and arrange. If we try to organize our lives without reference to the Lord, instead of order, we get chaos. But when we let the Lord visit us and examine our lives, or we examine ourselves from his perspective and teachings, then he can redeem us from the frantic frenzy of self-love. Instead, we will feel the peace of being in the stream of his providence. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people. The dayspring from on high has visited us to give light to those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. Reflecting on Joseph and Mary's journey, we can see a second truth about the Lord's mission. The lowlands of Galilee, and Nazareth in particular, represent the natural man. This is the instinctive, habitual level of life focused on the needs of this world. The mountains of Judea, on the other hand, represent love to the Lord. And Bethlehem represents nourishment for our spiritual lives from the Word. The Lord came to exalt our view of life in the natural world by showing how even the mundane daily chores of our life may be filled with heavenly and eternal significance when we do them justly and faithfully. Further, as we follow where the Lord leads, many things which used to take priority drop away, and other things and opportunities become much more important. For example, as people get older, things often mean less to us, while marriage and family mean more. Possibly, time spent reading emails, news, watching TV, even time spent devoted to one's occupation or to household routines may decrease. Meanwhile, parents and grandparents may learn better how to really listen and talk with children and grandchildren. A husband and wife, after years of struggle with the pressures of raising children, may find time to reappreciate the person they married. Maybe the time patterns don't shift very much, but the change of focus changes the ways we do what we do, and our attitudes, reasons, and interests in doing them. We want to serve the Lord more and ourselves a little less. Then for us, Joseph is going up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem. The Lord wanted this journey to be recorded as part of the story of his birth because he came into the world to lead us in the way from earthly priorities to heavenly loves. Third, what is meant by the city of David, the goal of their journey? Three times in this story, we are reminded of David. And earlier, the angel Gabriel said to Mary concerning Jesus, "The Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." Bethlehem was called the city of David because it was David's birthplace and the place where he was anointed king. The Lord was born of the royal house of the family of David because he is the King of Kings. The Lord wished to be born in the city of David because of the ways David represented him. From the perspective of the Old Testament, there was no greater king than David. David obeyed Yehovah better than almost every other king. Although David committed grievous sins in the story of Bathsheba, he never worshipped any other gods. Throughout the books of the Kings, David is held up as the model against which other kings are compared. We read, "David did what was right in the eyes of Yehovah, and did not turn aside from anything he commanded him all the days of his life, except in the matter of Uriah the Hittite." The heavenly doctrine adds that when a person represents the Lord, angels do not reflect at all on the character of the person representing, but only on the office or function that he holds, such as king, and his actions as described in the sense of the letter. In the literal sense, we can see many ways in which David represented the Lord. David was a courageous shepherd from the time he was young. He killed a lion and a bear to rescue his flock. This is a strong image of the Lord's power protecting his people from the hellish deceits of evil spirits. David was anointed king when Samuel poured olive oil on his head, the oil representing the divine love. The divine love was the power of the highest that overshadowed Mary, from which his human was conceived in her womb. The uncircumcised Philistines, who were David's primary enemy, represent people and spirits who believe from religion that it is enough to know truths without living according to them, and therefore they live in filthy, merely bodily lusts. David's warfare against the Philistines prefigured the Lord's rebuke of the Pharisees, who knew the law but did not practice it. The Lord came into the world to show us how truth serves a good life. David, as one who carefully obeyed the laws of the Lord, is repeatedly called the servant of Yehovah. We read, David especially represents the Lord because he took great care of the things of the church and because he wrote the Psalms. In many of David's Psalms, it is easy to picture Jesus offering a prayer to the Father, especially in the 22nd Psalm, which begins, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Clearly, David was foreshadowing the coming of the Lord in the Psalms. Most of all, David represented the Lord as the greatest of Israel's kings. A king represents divine truth coming from the Lord. The Lord came to establish a new kingdom in heaven and on the earth. He subjugated the hells to make his kingdom safe. As Jesus drove the money changers out of the temple, the Lord drove the evil spirits out of the lower heavens and the world of spirits, which they had taken over. The Lord restored to his people their rightful inheritance in his kingdom, as David subdued all Israel's enemies all around, in fulfillment of the promise made to Abraham that his seed would have the whole land of Canaan, from the river of Egypt to the great river, the river Euphrates. The Lord was born in the city of David in order to prepare for the holy city, the New Jerusalem, just as David, the mighty warrior king, prepared for Solomon, the Prince of Peace. The holy city pictures a state of mind structured by divine truths like the walls and streets of the city. But inside the city grows the tree of life, representing celestial love and wisdom. By means of David's royal city, a state of truth from love, the Lord is leading to the holy city, a state in which love itself is primary. As we read the Christmas story and again go with Joseph and Mary to Bethlehem, let us reflect on how the Lord is leading us to our eternal inheritance. We can search for ways in which we may set all things in order, ready to receive the Lord when he comes to us. We can look to the Lord to raise us up from a merely natural life to a natural life that is infilled with heavenly love and wisdom, out of Nazareth in Galilee to Bethlehem in Judea. We can follow the King of Kings, born in the house of David, as he leads us to conquer our spiritual enemies and establish everlasting peace. For unto you is born today a Savior, who is Christ the Lord, in the city of David. Amen. Now to the one only God, Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen.